Good morning. I suppose I should first address the motion for mootness in regard to the petition for downlisting. To be brief about that, Your Honor, within the time limits, we believe that the Endangered Species Act overrides any other policy consideration, and that subsequent granting of a different petition, making a 12-month finding on a different petition that was filed remedially after two lawsuits to enforce it, is not good. Would not be good practice of policy.
You argued in your brief that in responding to the 1999 petition, the agency might have said something different or done something different from what it did with the, I guess it's 2010 petition. But I don't recall your elaborating on what that difference might have been.
There's been some subsequent developments that have changed our argument, Your Honor. The Fish and Wildlife Service has now made a 12-month determination based on the subsequent second petition to downlist filed by other parties.
Yes.
So that's no longer a defense that we don't know what they're really going to do. They have, in fact, made a 12-month.
I thought you made an argument in your brief or somewhere that there was no reason to treat the disposition of the 2010 petition as mooting the case because there might be some different remedy, some different outcome at the agency for the 1999 petition.
Well, in any event, I take it you don't think there is any difference. There's nothing left for the agency to do now in terms of your request, right?
Well, they haven't addressed the 1999 petition filed by those petitioners.
But at the best, all they would do in granting the 1999 would be to do the same thing that they've already done with respect to the later petition, correct?
That is correct, but it would be honoring a different petition.
What's the difference? All you want to do is downlist it, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's the notice that they've issued.
We also want to enforce the Endangered Species Act and the will of Congress, and the Congress has been very clear that the determination to be made in 90 days, as soon as possible, and absolutely requires a 12-month determination by saying that remedial action.
That's a desire to, a general desire that everybody might have to have policies done. Everything you want is now done. You want us to slap the agency's hand. Other than that, everything has been done. Is that right?
Not entirely correct, Your Honor. It's right, but it's a different petitioners. They did not honor the 1999 petition.
The other petitioners get the same benefit out of the later petition, don't they?
The Nasir Tareen of the IUCN and the STEP program are different petitioners, Your Honor. The Fish and Wildlife Service ignored that for nearly a decade, and we think it's very important that since it's not the same parties, that therefore it's not moot as a general rule, that the intent of Congress be carried forward. That is, that the determination be made in 12 months, and that there be no subterfuge about it.
Let's move on to the discussion about your permits, about the permits. Permits have been denied. The only ones requested have been denied, right?
The permits, there are at least two affidavits in the record where people are being discouraged from filing permits.
The actual permits, that's taken care of.
As far as those particular permit applicants, right, it would be moot, but not with regard to the other parties, Your Honor.
Which other parties?
The other parties are Nasir Tareen and manages the program.
Nasir Tareen has not filed any affidavit with the court, has it?
A member of the different organizations.
Start with Tareen. He hasn't filed any affidavit saying that he's going to file a permit in the future, has he?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, so who's the next person?
Alan Smith.
And has he filed?
Joseph Alan Smith.
And has Mr. Smith filed an affidavit saying that he will in the future file another permit?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where is that?
There's a sworn affidavit, a declaration, to the effect that he wishes to go and take one of these species, but he won't because he's been discouraged. There's another by.
That's a JA-177. That's about a specific hunt that he was booked on in January 2011. Is that right?
I think so, Your Honor.
January 2011 has passed.
Yes, Your Honor. So he aborted that hunt,
right,
and he went to another. Therefore, that's damage to the program. It cost the program $100,000.
What program are you talking about?
That's the STEP program. The managers are the...
Is there an affidavit by the STEP program anywhere in the record?
There's not affidavits from either the Nasir Tareen or the STEP program because of the difficulty of communications in the period of time that are allowed.
Right, but under our Sierra Club opinion, in order to have standing, which is required for a challenge to a policy, you have to have at this stage an affidavit, just not just a claim. And STEP, which sounds like the only plaintiff here who might still have standing or whose claims might not be moot, has not filed anything with us.
I think it's obvious that STEP has a standing, Your Honor. From the record, the STEP is the managers the program. And the Sierra Tareen filed a petition for both of them filed the petition to downlist.
They have, but neither of them have filed any sworn affidavit saying that they will be injured. They filed a complaint, that's all, but in Sierra Club we said that's not good enough at this stage. So what else have they done?
I don't know that a standing has been challenged, Your Honor, but they filed a petition to downlist.
We have an issue about mootness at this point. That has certainly been raised.
Others have filed declarations instead of everyone filing a declaration.
Who has filed a declaration saying that they want to do something in the future and that some policy of the agency is preventing them from going forward?
Permit applicant Brenna and Joseph Allen Smith, Joseph A. Smith. That's two parties. And Gray Thornton, the organizational representatives of the Wild Sheep Foundation. President of Wild Sheep Foundation.
Thornton, we've already talked about Smith. Thornton says that our members have hunted and will hunt in the future, but he doesn't name any member. We have twice held that that's not good enough. If you're going to have associational standing, you have to name the member.
Alan Smith and Brenner are both members of that organization and Conservation Force, and there are declarations to that effect, Your Honor.
Where's Brenner? I'm sorry.
Brenner is one of the applicants that... Permit's been denied. Permit's been denied. Has been processed.
Is there a declaration for Brenner?
Yeah, there is a declaration for Brenner.
Maybe when you come back, if you could tell me the page. I don't have it in front of me.
All right. There's so many cases involved, Your Honor, and that's the problem. The 12-month finding is a result of a new petition by other parties and two lawsuits. Right. I don't think that our position, Your Honor, is the service shouldn't be rewarded for all this remedial work and all this burden on the court. It would be bad policy to moot this case under those circumstances. We had no choice but to file another petition if we were to in the best interest of the species. But the service should have been considering the best interest of the species and should have
Why
been.
Is it bad policy?
The bad policy is. Is almost everything that's being done, Your Honor. Number one,
the policy is that the agency took too many years to make the decision.
But to reward them for
it. There's nothing we can do about that at this point other than to say, in an opinion, the agency took too many years to make a decision. But
what we're really deciding here today is whether or not the service shall be rewarded by the remedial work done by the petitioners. Whether they should be told, and which they have been by the trial court, that there's no remedy against them from this callous behavior towards recovery of the species.
Well, I just don't know what to do with agency delay in those circumstances. You can obviously come in earlier in the 9-year process or 10-year process or whatever it is and try to get the agency to move more quickly. But at this point, once they finally take the action you wanted to begin with, kind of the end of it.
They only took the action because they were compelled to in two subsequent lawsuits after this one.
I understand, but the key is that they took the action you wanted.
And we only knew to take the action because of this lawsuit, Your Honor, where they disclosed that they weren't processing it and the time delays had run. Completely to our surprise because the representations they've been making all along were different. And that takes us to whether or not there's a 2401 applies, Your Honor. We think that the Irwin decision is very clear and subsequent decisions, that contrary to trial court, it just summarily dismissed the case, the equitable, that statute can be equitably told, and there was every reason to equitably toll it in this case.
If the case is moot, you're right, we'll vacate that part of the decision below. So you don't have to worry about that claim again, at least until the next district court makes that decision. But you're right. If they by their own action have mooted this, I take one of the things you asked is that if that happens, we should vacate that part of the opinion, and I think it seems clearly right under Munsingware we should.
All right.
You're relying, aren't you, on the exception for claims capable of repetition yet evading review, and particularly Del Monte?
That's the claim in regard to the...
Why does it evade review?
I'm sorry?
Why does your delay claim evade review?
They're still doing it today, and we have sworn declarations that the permit applicants have been discouraged, and that there are numerous other cases pending that the defendants actually cited as notes of evidence and supplemental notes of other cases. There's at least four of the cases where they're doing the same thing.
That may suggest that there's a need to bring a lawsuit earlier. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that that shows systematically that there's no hope for getting timely judicial relief.
We think that 9 years of practice now, 12 years of practice, speaks for itself, Your Honor.
I understand, but a lot of that delay, and I understand you attribute it in part to the behavior of the agency, but it can't be entirely the behavior of the agency, and presumably you and like-minded people are now alert to the character of the agency, right, and therefore can bring timely suits against delay and get relief.
This is the issues the trial court should have addressed, but instead it summarily dismissed the case. Thank you, Your Honor.
You have some time left, and we'll let you reserve it for the rebuttal.
Hey, please, the court. My name is Michael Graham here on behalf of the Fish and Wildlife Service. We do think that the downlist claims are moot. Just make a couple of points on that. We acknowledged in the finding on the 2010 petition, the 1999 petition, and said we considered the information brought in that petition as well. The 2010, as you heard, does resolve everything that was brought in the 1999 petition, and any decision at this point on the 1999 petition would be the same. On the individual permit applicants, those are clearly moot, and to the extent there's some policy challenge, like in addition to the standing problems you raised, you also run into, this is just not cognizable under the APA, as the district court concluded. You're talking about an agency that deals with thousands of import and export permits per year, and grants a bunch of thousands of just for trophies, import and export permits. And so I don't see how you could have a systematic policy challenge in an unreasonable delay case. I mean, that sort of illustrates why you have to normally challenge a final agency action or a discrete failure to act.
How do you deal with Del Monte?
In Del Monte, you had an agency announced policy that they were going to, have like a year's delay. You had a particular party, Del Monte, that said, I'm going to be applying again. I'm in the business. I'm going to be repeatedly applying for through this agency. And here you just don't have that. The individual permit applicants have disclaimed any intention to apply again.
Well, that's the second part of it, and you may be right about the second. If you were wrong about the second, if they had actually put in affidavits of named people who intend to apply over and over again, how does the first one, your first point, win? Imagine that in you have a drawer at the Fish and Wildlife Service, and it says on it, we have a policy that we will delay until we're sued every application for a MARCOR. Now, would that not, and let's say that it got leaked to the Washington Post and was the front page article in the Washington Post, would you not have a lawsuit to challenge that that policy of intentional delay?
I think what you would have to do in that case is sue on a particular delay, and then that might support a finding at that point that it wasn't moot. Yes. Which is what happened in Del Monte. But what Del Monte doesn't resolve is the next question. That's basically what happened in Del Monte. It says, well, we don't think this is moot because there's a policy here. But it doesn't answer. It explicitly reserves whether the APA would allow that kind of suit. And so what the district court said here was, to the extent there's a policy challenge and they're not relying on the individual permits, that's just not cognizable under the APA.
That's what I want to know.
Del Monte doesn't.
I know the district court said that, but we're not the district court. So now I want to know why it makes sense that if you actually had a published policy of delaying until somebody sues and then in every case granting at the last minute in order to give you as long as possible, why that could not be challenged.
Well, I think what would happen in that case is, again, you would challenge it through an individual.
That's what's happened here. They've challenged it through an individual one. You've applied on assumption. I appreciate you don't believe there is such a policy. Okay, but assume for the purpose of the hypothetical that there is. Somebody has challenged, the policy has been applied, they wasted many years of application, and then on the last day, when we're about to rule, or maybe you go back to your office and you say they're going to rule against, and okay, we're going to deny, why can't that policy, why is that now moot? And or why can't that, as a policy of the agency, be a challenge? This is nothing like the land use policy in the Supreme Court's opinion. Nothing like that.
The key is if you start with an individual claim and preserve that all the way through, and you find that, well, this individual claim isn't moot because we think there's a policy, and so we're going to issue a declaration about the policy. I think that's probably something you can do because you started with the individual claim itself. You started with a challenge to a discrete failure to act. What you can't do is just start.
Well, they started
out.
I don't know whether you're right or wrong, but we're starting here with a discrete claim. But
they've disclaimed any intention. The discrete claims.
You're fighting my hypothetical. I asked you to assume. I think there is a problem here with their allegations and their affidavits. But if they were to have an identified person saying, I'm going to apply for this every week, and they do this to me every week, I think you're not saying that couldn't be that would be
right. I'm not saying that.
So you're really relying on the fact that they have their evidentiary support, as required by Sierra Club at this stage of the proceeding, is insufficient to give them. Del Monte says you have to not only. If you make this claim, it specifically says you have to have both standing and it has to be ripe.
Right.
So,
yes, I don't think you can bring the kind of claim you're talking about unless you say first, I'm applying, and that's what's missing here.
Let me ask you about the ripeness question just for one moment. When does the decision about downlisting actually occur? This is just a notice of proposed rulemaking at this point, right?
Correct. The statute gives 1 year from the notice of proposed rulemaking with the possibility of a six-month extension in certain circumstances. The comment period has closed already on the proposed rule, and my discussions with the Fish and Wildlife Service, they say they think they're going to get it within the 1 year, and it's possible
that
that's 6 months.
So once it's downlisted, I take it that changes the permitting policy, and so that is more likely to grant permits if it's threatened than if it's endangered.
It's even more friendly than that to importation. What the service has proposed is a rule that would allow the director to say, you know, this program meets certain conditions which are in the proposed rule, and if you take a species from this program and can verify it, you don't even need a permit anymore to import.
And that
import
might be
it.
The STEP program? Is it specifically
talking about? Yes, specifically talking about that program.
Where can you tell me where that is? I'm sorry.
It's in the Federal Register notice that we submitted. It's towards the end of the Federal Register notice. So there's two things that happen in that notice. One is the downlist rule, which changed that, and then the proposed rule to essentially allow the director to exempt this program from the requirement to get permits at all.
So this argument would be, there's a serious ripeness question whether or not there's a mootness question. Because is that right? That is, even if you had a policy before of denial, which I appreciate you don't think you had, but if you did, the policy would be different now because you're eliminating the need for, or at least likely you're going to eliminate the need for permits at all.
I think that's right, except the suit here, of course, was to compel action. And so to the extent that's what they're seeking, we've acted on everything that they've asked us. It was to compel the proposed rule, not to
I'm focusing,
compel the actual downlisting.
Sometimes people resist because they think you're actually trying to trick them. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm working off this sentence in Del Monte, which is repeated in City of Houston and a number of other cases. Of course, plaintiffs challenging an ongoing policy must demonstrate standing to bring such a forward-looking challenge and that the request for declaratory relief is ripe. So if everything is going to change with respect to how permits are granted, in fact, it may well change in a way that doesn't even require permits, an attack on a policy of delaying permits doesn't seem ripe at this point because the whole thing may disappear.
I think that's right, yes. I was trying to say that as well and moved on to something else, so I apologize.
Okay. You don't have to apologize.
Unless there are any further questions.
Are there? Okay, we'll hear. I think you had some time left, right? Okay, very good.
Your Honor, let me first address a point just made. The whole thing may disappear. That would be 13, 14 years after the petition, 1999 petition. Right now it's the CITES grants a quota of 12 for country of Pakistan to promote this program. Three are allocated to this particular project. That's that the trophies are selling for the hunts are selling for $45,000 instead of $150,000 from those areas where they can be imported. Therefore, it's $105,000 per trophy that's being lost each year to this program that employs 100 game guards. It's the foremost recognized program in the world that was established by Fish and Wildlife Services, International Affairs, U.S. Extension Service, and World Wildlife Fund.
Don't you get what you want if they exempt STEP from permitting requirements altogether?
If they downlist it to threaten, presumptively there's no permit going to be required. But what
would
be
with that? Presumptively there would be no.
No permit at all.
Yeah.
So that's why they both both of them are important. The thing is that the loss that was incurred 1999 to 2014.
Under any theory, you don't think we can do anything about the loss, do you? Think we can make the Fish and Wildlife Service pay you?
We're talking about recovery of a species, and the foremost duty here, overriding policy.
I understand, but what can we do about it?
I'm sorry?
What can we do about that?
You can penalize the Fish and Wildlife Service.
In what
you
way?
Can stop it from occurring again, because it is occurring again, in wood bison, in Zambia, in Mozambique, and South Africa, with black rhino, with elephant.
Is your lawsuit?
There are lawsuits I just named.
But in your lawsuit, is it only about DeMarcor?
This one
is only about DeMarcor.
DeMarcor, yes. But all the others are cited as related cases in a brief and have been cited by the defendants as related cases and notes of evidence. The reality is this is an ongoing practice, but specifically in this case, it's causing it's harming the program. And we're not talking about the rights of the hunter. We're not talking about monetary loss to individuals. We're talking about the core basis of the Endangered Species Act is hurting the recovery of the species, the overriding concern and policy that should be applicable here. Their focus should be on recovery of the species. The service did not act when they knew and have admitted in the Federal Register that it's a significant enhancement to grant the permits or to downlist it. This is the overriding concern. So this is it's also important to understand that when you deny a permit, what you're doing is you're given reasons. Under the APA, you have to give the reasons. Therefore, it gives guidance to the programs, to the world, what more they have to do to satisfy Fish and Wildlife Service to have the benefits of a recovery program. Thank you.
Take the case under submission.